Dr. Amar Patani. Dr. Patani is that guy who runs MainStreet312.com. That is, it's a family dentist office at Main Street Smiles, Family Dentistry, and Orthodontics. These are the people who I've been talking a little bit about on WGN Radio. I want to give them a couple of minutes of time to answer some basic questions you and I may have about going to the dentist these days. Dr. Patani, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, John. Thanks a lot for having me.
Your business is in Barrington, is that right?
That's right. We're out here in downtown Barrington in the historical district.
Are people afraid to go to the dentist these days still because of the virus?
I think it's, you know, there's a good portion of the population, I think, that has concerns. We've seen dentistry turn around in the last, I would say, 6 months or so. You know, there was an initial collapse of patient flow back in March, April, May, and then it started to pick up again as people, I think, you know, need to get their cleanings in and start to get concerned about their oral health.
But then you guys also had to put in some sort of mitigation systems too, right?
That's right. So I think dentistry as a whole has been pretty on top of dealing with the virus. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we deal primarily in aerosols generated from the mouth. A lot of our procedures are generating aerosols and droplets. You know, you think about your hygiene appointments with a Cavitron. You think about the high-speed drill, and we're basically forcing water into your mouth and generating this plume of aerosols and droplets that can stay in the air for as long as 3 hours. So I think, you know, it was understood pretty quickly that this is something we have to deal with. And so a lot of dentists put into play several systems. Some of the things we've done here, aside from process changes as far as like changing our forms to all electronic so that we're not sharing pens as much, and staff wearing N95 masks as well as surgical masks, and limiting contact between the office staff as well as patient contact. You know, when you talk about routes of transmission, we have staff to patient, patient to staff, and patient to patient, and we want to do what we can to minimize all those routes.
Well, when I saw you the other day, you had on, how many masks were you wearing when you cleaned, two or one?
I always wear two masks. So I've got an N95 mask that I wear underneath, and then I've got a surgical mask, level 3 surgical mask that I wear on top of that.
But then didn't you have a shield across your face as well?
Right. So in addition to the masks, I have my loops, which are the dental glasses I wear, and then on top of that, I have a face shield. Which is, you know, a clear plastic barrier that's also about, you know, 5 inches from my face that covers my head.
How hard is it to work with that stuff? I mean, how much of a drag is that, or are you used to it?
You know, I'd say in the beginning there were some challenges with, you know, how can you see effectively, or my shield is dirty, but now my hands are gloved, I'm in the mouth, and now I've got, you know, stuff on my shield. How do I do that? But I think with time we got used to it, and now I barely notice it. It's been, you know, 6-7 months now that we've been doing this, and so it's not really a hindrance anymore.
I wonder though if dentists and doctors and people that cut your hair, anybody that has contact with us, should have been doing all along some of the things we're doing now. For instance, this Netterman mitigation system you have that pulls the aerosolized particles away. Maybe we should have been doing that all along. You said some of those can linger in the office for 3 hours.
Yeah, you know, I think the reality is that it is probably something that we should have been doing all along. It just wasn't something that we ever had to face. With COVID-19, it's kind of brought this to the forefront of everyone's attention. And so you mentioned the Netterman system. So like I said, in dental offices, we generate plumes of aerosols and droplets. And like you mentioned, they can linger in the air for up to 3 hours. So that means that, you know, if you go to see a patient, I'm sorry, if you're a patient in a dental office and you walk into the room, and if there is no sort of ventilation or mitigation system in place, that you're essentially walking into aerosols of the patient before you.
Right, right.
Now, the Netterman system is interesting in the sense that, first of all, it's built from a company that's been around since 1944. They make industrial-grade exhaust systems, and they released last year a system for dental use. And essentially, it's a 3-inch aluminum tube that's placed about 8 inches from the patient's face, and it generates 100 CFM of force in suction, and it removes those aerosols directly from the procedure space. So as I'm drilling, as we're doing cleanings, that tube is placed within 8 inches of the patient's face, but it's placed in a position that isn't really cumbersome for the dentist or the patient.
I thought that was interesting. I didn't notice it. And it's not making a humming or sucking sound, but it's working, huh?
Yeah, so the reason you don't hear it is because the Nederman system is different than the in-room systems in a few ways. The biggest being that the motors and the filters are located in the basement for us here. So we have long ducts that come to the rooms in each operatory.
Yeah.
So all the noise generating machinery is in the basement. And so all that you hear at the dental chair is a really light, quiet sucking sound of air. So it's just airflow.
It's very quiet
and you don't even notice it.
I have questions for you about just basic dentistry stuff. Like if I was only going to brush my teeth or floss my teeth, which would I do? What's more important, would you say?
Oh, they're equally important. That's like asking if you were going to clean your car, is it better to clean the left side or the right side? You know, so brushing is how we mechanically debride the teeth daily, and so we're removing that layer of plaque. We're preventing it from turning into calculus as best we can. Some of it will still turn that way, and that's why it's important to have your 6 month checkup and cleanings. Flossing is how we do the same thing for in between the teeth. So your brush, the bristles can get to surfaces that you can see, but they can't really penetrate into the areas between the teeth. And that's why we rely on mechanical debridement in that area of flossing.
Yeah.
Some people use a water pick, which is also effective. In my personal opinion, flossing itself is great, and it does the job better than anything else.
What about the electric toothbrushes these days? Do you like those? Is there a brand you like best? And if I'm just using a good old-fashioned hand brush, how are we doing it right and how are we doing it wrong? I've got a couple more questions for the doctor. Maybe you do as well. Dr. Patani is here. You may hear their messages sometimes on WGN Radio. He's the family dentist at Main Street Smiles, Family Dentistry and Orthodontics. They're in Barrington. 312-981-7200. You got a question for the doctor? We'll answer it here. I wonder, too, about the mistakes our kids make when they start brushing their teeth, Doc. We'll pick it up in a minute. So I'm John Williams. Our number is 312-981-7200. Dr. Patani is here. He's at 312smiles.com. You may hear their commercials. That's MainStreet312.com, MainStreet312.com. And his business is Main Street Smiles. So I've got some questions for the doctor. Maybe you do as well. Let's put him back on over there. Hey, doctor, what about my question a moment ago? Do you like the electric toothbrushes, and what kind should we be using?
So I do like the electric toothbrushes, but the simple answer to whether you need one or not is no, you don't need an electric toothbrush if you're doing a good enough job with your manual toothbrush. So an electric toothbrush is much more effective in the way it cleans and much more efficient in how quickly it can clean. Also, you can get into areas that you can't effectively clean with a manual toothbrush because it doesn't require you to reach and scrub as much as it is just placing the head into the area. So for electric toothbrushes, I like smaller heads. As far as brands go, you know, I don't tie myself to any brands. In the office here, we use Oral-B and Sonicare. They're both really good brands. It's really what works for you. So if you have a good brushing technique with your manual brush that you love, make sure it's soft bristled. We don't want to use anything but soft bristled brushes.
Yeah. Everybody says that, and I wonder why they make the hard bristles, because they're out there. And I've never heard a dentist say, get the real hard bristles.
No, hard bristles are very damaging to your teeth and your gums. And I think that maybe back in the past, before we had these recommendations, they've been out, and I don't know why they're still out there.
312-981-7200 is the telephone number. One last thing, and then we'll go to your questions on the phone. When I was using the electric toothbrush, I was kind of doubling my pleasure by scrubbing as I went. And then some hygienist said, no, you just place it in that spot and let the bristles do the work. Is there a right way or a wrong way to use those electric toothbrushes?
So the main thing to remember when brushing manual or electric is that the tips of the bristles are doing all the work. So you don't want to put a lot of force on those brushes. You're letting the tips of the bristles do the work. As far as using them with the scrubbing motion, they're designed for you to just place them on the teeth lightly. A lot of the newer electric brushes have pressure sensors that'll let you know if you're pushing too hard on them. And so if you can just move them around, you know, what I do when I brush my teeth is I picture each tooth as I'm coming around and getting all the sides of it. So if you do that, that's fine. If you move it around a little more, I don't think it's damaging at all, but you don't need to.
That's funny because I just go top outside, top inside, bottom outside, bottom inside, but you would do one tooth at a time all the way around.
I picture it because if you can angulate the head of the brush to get more adapted to that interproximal, the area between the teeth on each tooth, it can be very effective.
Well, how long does it take you to brush your teeth? Like 45 minutes? Are you in there for hour and a half, something like that?
So the ADA recommends 2 minutes, and it's interesting because, you know, 2 minutes with the manual brush is very different than 2 minutes with an electric brush. So, you know, I think if you can effectively clean your mouth, and if you are not seeing cavities at your dental appointments, if you're not having gingivitis, you know, that's what we're looking for.
I use this purple mouthwash that you guys gave me. I think it's Listerine. I switched it around my mouth for a while. Does that help clean my teeth or kill the bacteria, or is that just marketing?
Absolutely. So the Listerine has essential oils in it. It has some components that can kill bacteria in your mouth. And it's a good adjunct. It will not replace, you know, we need mechanical debridement on the teeth because we generate that plaque that sticks to your teeth. But it can help with keeping the bacteria low down and giving you kind of a fresh feeling.
But that's not injurious to the enamel or the gums?
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. Enamel's a really hard material. It's not easy to injure, although it can be done. Right. With very acidic items.
Celine, you're on WGN. What was your question, Celine? Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I was wondering what would be the correct sequencing when I clean my teeth. Should I floss first?
I love this question.
Should I floss second?
I wonder.
Should I brush and rinse? Those three activities. What order should I do them in?
I love that. A friend of mine and I got into an argument about this one time. What's the best way to do it, doctor?
So here is my answer, and it's not great. I'll tell you what I think and then what I recommend. It comes back to if what you're doing is effective, if you're not seeing cavities, if you're not having gingivitis, then keep doing it that way. But if I think about it logically, I personally like to floss first because that removes the layer in between the teeth, takes out any bigger pieces that are stuck in there, any pieces of food or anything, and then I brush. And what that does is it also allows the fluoride to penetrate into those areas interproximally. So flossing first removes any materials that are stuck on the teeth. Interproximally, when you brush with the fluoride toothpaste, now you're exposing those areas to the fluoride. So it's getting better exposure to the fluoride. And then if you mouthwash at the end, now you've gotten all the material off the teeth and you're exposing your teeth to what's in the mouthwash. And you can use a fluoride mouthwash, and that's great for your teeth as well.
All right, Celine, does that help?
Thank you.
Yep, thanks for the call. I was doing it the other way. I thought if I brush, then there's some residual, and I don't rinse at the very end, then I've got all that soapy suds in there, and then I go in with the floss, and then I sort of swish the floss suds around, and it's a double whammy, but that's not what you do. Floss, then brush, then rinse.
It's not what I do, but it's not to say that that isn't effective. So I don't know that there's any studies on that.
I'm going to go with the way you do it, Doc. You made some good sense there. Grace, what was your question? You're on WGN. Hi.
Yes, I was wondering what the doctor thinks of using the gums product, which is a little appliance that has little ridges to get in between your teeth.
Yeah, so I think that's great as an adjunct to flossing. So for a lot of people, you know, it does a few things. It looks like a little Christmas tree on a little plastic toothpick. And you basically use it in between your teeth to, it does, you know, it stimulates your gums. It's like a little massage for your gums. It removes particles. The thing it doesn't do is there's a, between two teeth, there's a part that touches, right? So all your teeth are touching the teeth next to it. The floss can get through that contact area. So you can kind of scrape that area in between with the gum product or any of those interproximal brushes. You're basically scrubbing the area below the contact. And it's effective at doing a lot. It's still not as effective as flossing, in my opinion.
There's the answer. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the question. And thanks for the answer. Bill, you're on WGN. What was your question? Hi.
Yeah, my question is this. I've been using Stimudent for over 60 years, I never heard that mentioned by anybody ever.
What is stimulant?
You told
what
me
is that?
The stimulants, are they any good?
What are they?
Well, you get them along, they're like a toothpick. They call them stimulants.
You know what those are, Doc?
Yeah, they're similar, I believe, to the gums product we were just talking about, where it's like a toothpick. It's like a plastic toothpick with a little Christmas tree,
yep.
Little protrusions on it that stimulate the gums. And again, remove that material. So I think they're great. You know, I think they do a good job.
Yeah.
If you can, I would still floss and use it.
Rosemary, you're on WGN. What was your question? Hi.
Hi, this is Rosemary. My question is, teeth whitening, is that damaging to the enamel?
What about that, Doc?
So there's no research that shows teeth whitening damages enamel. You can have sensitivity during or after a tooth whitening procedure, but it's not causing any damage to the tooth as far as we know. One thing you can do to help with the sensitivity is I recommend using a desensitizing toothpaste for 2 weeks before any whitening treatment, whether it's the white strips or an in-office treatment like a Zoom or a laser treatment with the BioLase. I recommend 2 weeks of the desensitizing toothpaste, then do your whitening, and that'll help a lot with that sensitivity.
Thanks for the question. Hey, a couple of people are asking about peroxide as a mouthwash. Well, I don't know why they're asking that. What do you know about that, Doc?
So diluted peroxide is okay. We use it here pre-treatment right now with COVID, and it's just basically antibacterial, antiviral. We're basically just killing what we can in the mouth to decrease that load. As far as home use, you know, I'd be careful. Peroxide can damage your gums, so you want to make sure you're using the right concentration of it. In general, I would say I prefer using something like a Listerine mouthwash.
I got it. How about this? Is it Doris on line two? You're on WGN, or Horace? Horace, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, thank you. Hi, John. Thank you. Doctor, my question is, what about lightly brushing the gums in the top and bottom and under the tongue and the inside of the cheeks? I'll listen to your response. Thank you.
You bet.
That's a great idea. So we talk about gum stimulation. You know, it promotes blood flow in the area, helps with keeping good, healthy gums. The other thing is, when you're brushing your teeth, there's an area between the teeth and the gum, so along that gum line, that's a little pocket. And so what you can do is turn your brush at about a 45-degree angle up into that area. So on the upper teeth, it's up. On the lower teeth, it's down. And you're basically sweeping the bristles through that pocket to help really clean that out. And then if you do, go ahead and brush your gums. That's great. Go brush your tongue as well. You know, get your tongue and your gums.
Dr. Amar Patani is the family dentist at Main Street Smiles. You hear their commercials on the radio. This guy is a geek for dentistry. I just want people to know he had a degree in, was it electrical engineering, doctor?
That's right, electrical engineering.
And then had a career for 10 years and then said, but I really want to be a dentist. Goes back, gets his doctorate in dentistry, and now is like the most on top of the technology dentist you'll ever see. And yet, this guy's an artist, too. I've seen his work. So thanks for joining us. We didn't even touch on all the questions, doctor. We'll ask you back sometime soon, okay?
That'd be great. Thanks a lot for having me, John.
Dr. Amar Patani, and if you want to find out more, MainStreet312.com is their website.